South Africans are leaving the country in droves. Their reasons include better career opportunities as well as political and economic stability. Statistics from the Department of Home Affairs indicate that in 2017, 8 South African professionals left for every skilled foreigner who entered the country. The report estimated that over 500,000 South Africans had emigrated between 1989 and 2003, with the numbers growing by about 9% a year thereafter. About 120,000 of those who left had professional qualifications. Now on the line we have Leon Isaacson, the MD of Global Migration. Leon, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
There is this perception that the professionals leaving the country are white people who are disillusioned with the country. Is that accurate? What's your experience?
I think that statistically, in the early mid-2000s, that might have been the case. But increasingly, I think what's happening is black professionals who are either looking for greener pastures or better jobs are falling into that group and are being recruited by international companies that want skilled people. Mm-hmm. And for them, I think for South Africans, there's always a history of racial issues in our thinking. For international companies and businesses, if a person's got the qualifications and can do the job, race is not an issue.
Is it about, you know, concerns with regards to the broader socio-political situation in the country, or is it purely financial? You're getting better salary and better perks and better career options overseas?
I think it's a bit of both. I don't think it's a bad thing for young people to go overseas and gain experience, because typically what happens is that improves their careers, they do well, and they come back. But I think that there are push factors that perhaps our politicians are not really taking notice of. And I'm a loyal South African citizen, and I live here, and I'm not leaving the country. And I think there are things, though, that make families feel a little insecure, the crime. And if you're bringing up children, there are people in certain areas who don't believe that they have access to adequate standards of education. And I think the other thing is that if the economy continues on the current path, effectively things are pretty flat and static for people who want to remain employed, number one, in other words, not be retrenched through company closures, or to build their careers and do better from a financial point of view. So the overseas option might be for 5 or 10 years, and if things look better in 5 or 10 years financially and professionally, they'll come back.
How many of them, percentage-wise, end up coming back?
It's interesting. I mean, people talk about the brain drain. I talk about the brain circulation. Because I think we've also got to not panic. Although we need skilled people, we need people at economic value and train others, etc., and build the economy. I think that if people don't come back, then clearly we're not doing something right. Because in many other countries, what people do to build their careers and their experience, and often their companies will send them overseas, is to go overseas and learn new technologies, learn new ways of doing things, and then come back and implement those in our country. I think what we've got to be very careful of is that we don't end up with a situation where people feel unwelcome in a sense, that they can't or shouldn't come back. And I think that the government's going to, this new administration is going to have to work very hard to make sure that perceptions of the economy, safety, education, and stable politics actually change. We should be 25 years into our democracy in a situation where we have stable politics that are predictable, because that's what business and that's what normal social life thrives on.
Now, which are the professions that are hardest hit? Which are the top three areas of expertise of South African professionals that live abroad?
It's interesting. I was chatting to a Canadian immigration lawyer about a month ago, and he said that the majority of the financial managers, financial directors, and accountants who go to Canada are South African. I mean, that's just an example. And then, just to get back to your question, those people with portable qualifications, which are recognized either in the UK or Australia or Canada or the US, and so that's a lot of South African qualifications are highly recognized, highly valued, and are portable. In other words, if you go and register in the UK as an accountant. They'll recognize that you've done your years of study and your articles, and there's a short transitional course. The same for doctors and the same for teachers and others. So as long as you have a portable qualification that's recognized internationally, those are the professions that are going to be attracted to work overseas.
Now, I see that one expert has stated that the emigration trend has increased since last year. One would have thought with the so-called New Dawn and Ramaphosa, it would have been the reverse.
I think exactly what I mentioned earlier is happening. I think that with the economy kind of tanking over here, and there are a couple of signs that I think that are not just, this is not just for immigrants, this is for people who are staying and for people who are established here, is I think that the contraction in growth, which is means we're technically in a recession, I think that the situation of the Paris Staples is problematic. Those are big, big entities that shouldn't be, I mean, they operate in a monopoly environment. They should not be failing. They should be profitable or breaking even. They should never be in the kind of situation that they're in. And I think that this periodic instability, and without being political, I think that the ANC is showing signs of instability as the governing party. And that kind of sets people off. I mean, we saw that with the statement 2 weeks ago by the Secretary General regarding quantitative easing, which is not government policy. People immediately reacted and said, but why would somebody within the political party be telling a newly elected government what to do economically when you've actually got a president and his economic team who said that this is not going to be policy? They're grappling with the issue of negative growth, and quantitative easing, for example, is not the option. And then Ace Magashule says, well, it is. But the RAND immediately reacted badly because they're saying we're now following reckless policies. That's got to be very, very, very carefully managed. And we have to create policy stability and broad social stability and economic stability. One of the big things we have to deal with all the Ramaphosa and the New Dawn, is finding meaningful jobs for South Africans and young South Africans in particular, and dealing with those broader social issues that people are impatient about after 25 years. And I think that the government should be absolutely ruthless with things like corruption, because that just means that money is being stolen by politicians that belongs in social programs. And I think people are quite angry about that.
Right. Finally, I mean, do you get a sense as an expert that government is taking this brain drain concern seriously, that they have some sort of a plan, or is it all hinged on whether the economy improves or not?
So obviously you need the economy to improve. I mean, let's get that out of the way. You want a growth environment because it means you're collecting more taxes, the economy is growing, people have got more money. That's the first thing. Second thing is that one hears and sees policy statements from different parts of government which are clearly not aligned. So, for example, if you look and talk to the Department of Labor, they've got one focus. Very interesting with the new administration. They've now called it the Department of Labor and Employment. So you're now not in a negative position vis-a-vis business or government or employers. You're actually saying we need to create the labor laws and have the support of the unions, but we actually need to create jobs. But when you look at recruiting investment from overseas, Home Affairs and DTI are not always singing from the same hymn sheet. They're not always on the same page as far as that goes. So we still have backlog issues with Home Affairs when it comes to investors not being given a professional treatment and not being given prompt treatment. I mean, for example, with Home Affairs, some of the permanent residence applications for people who are already approved as immigrants, they're waiting for the final residence which will either secure their stay or secure their investment. Some of those are taking 2 to 3 years, which is not not an adequate turnaround time. And Home Affairs is locked in litigation. I mean, there are still more than 4,000 cases on the court rolls for basic administrative decisions. And these are things we've got to get right, and got to have aligned policy and an efficient system if we want people to take us seriously.
All right, Leon, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
That's a pleasure. Have a good day.
You too.